Limitless Wrestling fans, it's another edition of the Limitless Wrestling Podcast coming to your ears, wherever you may listen to this, on whatever podcast distribution service you use, or YouTube. John Alba here with the czar of Limitless Wrestling, Randy Carver. Randy, what is cooking today?
What's going on, man? Just got done with a session at the Limitless Dojo tonight, and feeling pretty good, man. Had a great show last weekend. Looking forward to Let's Wrestle just about a week away now, so fun times.
As you should be feeling pretty good, because things in Limitless Wrestling and Let's Wrestle are going pretty darn good right about now, and we do have a witness to this. This is not me just claiming things. I assure you it is the truth. He is from the Wrestling Observer. He is a longtime Limitless Wrestling fan, a one-time guest host of Living the Gimmick of Pro Wrestling podcast. Thank you very much for that. Mr. Josh Nason. Josh, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm glad to be back after my limitless wellness suspension, and glad to be back with you guys on the podcast again. It's been a long time.
Did you miss a test? Did you have elevated levels of horse testosterone? What was the deal?
Well, I did get a letter saying Randy wished me the best in my future endeavors, but we were able to negotiate, and I was able to get back in the house this past Friday.
If Edge can return to wrestling, anything is possible. We like to talk a little bit about some other things outside Limitless on this. Randy, I would imagine you grew up a huge fan. Josh, obviously you cover Edge. What a moment that was at the Royal Rumble, huh?
That was crazy. I actually was not a fan as a kid because I was a kid and I hated Edge.
Oh, okay.
Until the very end,
Then it clicked.
Yeah, and then just as soon as I started to get it, which was pretty much when he won the title at WrestleMania, he retired the next night. So I appreciated Edge from afar throughout the past few years, but seeing him come back in great shape, by the way, he looks phenomenal.
Shredded. Mm-hmm.
And now that he's cleared to do it too, which is puts my mind at ease, because you never, this shit's can screw some people up, I'm glad that he can do it safely and not have problems with later in life, and that he's finally back to doing what he loves, because that was such a moment at the Royal Rumble.
We hope so anyway. That's one thing I thought of going into this. I'm like, I don't know. He's a grown man. He can do what he wants. But, you just worry about the fusion neck surgery. You just hope everything's good. But, I mean, they had Kurt Angle come back and wrestle. I mean, anything's possible now. But it's interesting, and I've heard this mentioned before, that all of a sudden when they, WWE gets into a little bit of a wrestling war and has some competition, all of a sudden, some of the hard and fast rules they had with medicals in the past tend to kind of get, pushed to the side a little bit. But look, he's in there his own volition. I'm glad he's in there. It was funny. He looked like $1 million. He had a real grizzled look, which was really kind of cool. Messed up AJ Styles' shoulder on a spear and a kind of an accident there. But it's awesome to see him back. But I hope health wise, I hope now and forever, I hope he's good.
No doubt. He is the man. It was an awesome moment. In pro wrestling, you just crave those moments, man, that electricity. And I think about them in Limitless. There's been so many of those kinds of moments, maybe not to that gravity, but still those surprises where just reminds you why you're a wrestling fan in the first place. You can't get that in any other form of theater.
You really can't. It's something totally different, and I think the moments like that and the moments that we've been able to do with Limitless, like they stick for a long time with people for that very reason.
Randy, what's your favorite surprise moment in Limitless history?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it the MJF?
The MJF one is up there, because I think people legitimately thought he was never coming back to Limitless Wrestling, and I think that got a lot of people. Alexander Lee turning on the Main State Posse was huge. I think that's one of those moments where absolutely nobody saw that coming. And I would also say we had to that caliber moment this past Friday with Chris Statlander unannounced appearing and answering Daniel Garcia's open challenge, which just blew some people away, because I think a lot of people thought Chris Statlander's time in Limitless Wrestling was over. I think a lot of people thought that. So being able to put that together with Chris was a really special moment.
Any on your end, Josh, any favorites?
Yeah, the MSP, Alexander Lee turning on the MSP, that was my favorite moment of 2019 by far. I thought I think we talked about it on the podcast before. I text Randy very sparingly, because I know he's busy, especially during shows and things like that. But that was a few I actually texted him that after that happened. I was like, A++. That was just amazing. That was one of my favorite shows, if not my favorite show of the entire year last year. So that was up there. The Statlander appearance this past Friday was really good, because to Randy's point, I thought she was done, and all of a sudden she appeared, and that was great. And I think personally is that I actually really liked an intergender match, which was one of my top matches, if not my favorite match of last year, which was MJF versus Ashley Vox. Mm-hmm. I thought that was this way better than had he right to be, and it was flawless. It was so good. And that was one of my big surprise moments for me, that I loved an intergender match so much.
Well, before we get into what happened at Flirting with Disaster, we got to tell you about Practice What You Preach, coming to you on February 22nd in Yarmouth. And Randy, we can finally reveal it. The big get, Murdoch in Maine. It's happening. Trevor Murdoch is coming to Limitless Wrestling. I'm so excited for this.
You helped facilitate this more than you know. I don't even know if
really?
I told you this.
No, yeah. You didn't.
So I've been hitting up Trevor Murdoch for probably 8 months. I got an email from a fellow promoter who had booked him in the past, and unfortunately it was an old email, and I had no idea. How the fuck would I know? I didn't have him on Facebook or anything, and I had messaged him on Facebook too, but never got a response because I assume it went to the request folder. But when you had tweeted him, this was a couple months ago, and he responded back to you, he finally saw a tweet from us, and he gave me the follow back. We were able to DM, and then he added me on Facebook, and from there we just got to talking and set everything up, and I'm stoked. I think a lot of people are too, because a lot of listeners of the podcast came up to me at the show and were hyped about it, because we've been talking about him for, I don't know, fucking years on this podcast.
Randy, was that old promoter Vince McMahon? Was that the guy that used to book him that you lost his email address?
Yeah, Vinny Jr. is what I like to call him. But yeah, he gave me a false email.
This is so great. Oh, I guess all I could say, Randy, is you're welcome.
Yeah.
And I tweet also, Mr. Alba, I tweeted at you as that was happening, as that announcement was being made.
Yes, you did. I got very excited.
It took a while for you to respond, and you were tweeting about effing SmackDown. I'm like, what is this guy doing right now? This is
priorities.
Like one of the moments of all moments. And
well, I think you had poor reception out of there, and it didn't go through until a little later in the evening, I think.
The Limitless Twitter account, which is always retweets me at some of these things, yes, which is really cool, managed to get it right away. So
I was on fucking commentary, John. I'm doing that from commentary, so you can step up a little bit.
Okay, well, all I'll say is I am very, very excited for this. I cannot wait.
Me too.
Trevor Murdoch is the man who's completely reinvented himself on NWA Power, and oh, I love this stuff, Randy. It's so great. That's what makes Limitless Wrestling so great. Anything else you want to say about that show coming up, other than the fact that you continue to ignore my name suggestion?
I do. Main event that night was announced at the show. We haven't announced it on the Facebook yet, but it is Chris Dickinson making his return to Limitless Wrestling, the Dirty Daddy, going one-on-one with Retro Anthony Green for the Limitless Wrestling World Championship. We also announced this week Jake Something makes his return, Warhorse makes his return, and Chris Statlander, who is in Limitless Wrestling to stay, will be at Practice What You Preach on February 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Friday, so if you're listening to this on when this drops on Thursday, you've got a day to prepare yourself. 7 p.m. Friday night, limitlesswrestling.com/tickets. Front row and VIP usually sell out within a couple minutes, so if you're looking to get those, get on quick. And then general admission tickets, as always, $15. And I would suggest grabbing yours early if you plan to attend the show. We had to turn away about 40 people at the door, according to my mom, who handles the door, and she was not thrilled about it. So definitely grab yours early if you're looking to come to this show, because we did reach max capacity at the last event, and I expect it to continue. A lot of people saying they're coming to this show. A lot of first-time fans, too, that were in Yarmouth in January who are planning to come back. So grab those tickets early.
Hey, did you see your boy, the Dirty Daddy, tweeting about the Emmy the other day?
Oh, he loves the Emmy. I hate that he puts you over, but he loves the Emmy.
He does. Let's get to it. Flirting with Disaster. Things did not start normally here, Randy. Normally, you know, Rich Paladino comes out, welcomes the crowd, and we're off to the races. No, this time, holy filth's Ryan Curry on guitar, ripping a performance, and then Rich Paladino. We knew he's got pipes, but we didn't know he had these kind of pipes. Just his own rendition of Flirting with Disaster. I mean, it was just fantastic. Josh, you were there in attendance as a fan. How cool was this?
Well, I actually can't tell you because I wasn't there yet.
Oh,
and
what
the
a
reason
loser.
Is, and maybe we'll get the, actually, I'll tell it right now real quick. I had my first real Limitless moment. And Randy, you guys were just talking about 40 people turned away at the door.
Would you get pulled by AEW or something?
Something like that. I almost did. Cody then put in a call. I was one of the people that got turned away at the door.
Ooh.
I drove up. I completely botched my spot, my time cue. I got there a little bit later than I hoped. I had to park a little ways up because you know everything was packed. So I get in there and I said, I want a ticket. And Randy's mom was like, oh, they're all sold out. And I was like, oh no, I have to drive an hour and almost, you know, hour, 15 minutes home. I'm like, my fault, like no big deal. This guy in front of me, who would happen to be walking with a group right in front of us, hears me, turns around, is just like, hey, I had two tickets. People didn't show up. Here's one. Here you go.
There you go.
Wow.
And I'm like, you serious? I'm like, I'll Venmo you money right now. So I'm like, hey, he's like, it's what wrestling fans do for each other. And he went about his day. And then he actually gave the other ticket to someone else about 20 minutes later, a guy that just came in on his own.
A little golf clap right there,
yeah,
man. That's
it was
good
awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
so I learned my lesson, that's for sure. But, yeah, so I completely missed the first 50 minutes. I missed the Drake Pillman match. I saw everything else, but
okay.
I was really, really bummed by that. But I was happy to actually get in the show.
Randy, whose idea was this and how awesome was it?
Dude, this was Rich Palladino's idea, which is the best part because – you know, Rich is extremely professional. He doesn't like to overstep his boundaries, so to speak. And he, you know, he's doesn't try to be the entertainer of the show. But he had this idea because we've done things with Ryan Curry before, as you know, and Ryan just rips it every single time. I didn't even think Ryan Curry was going to be able to make it in time, but he said he was going to be able to. He learned the song in 2 days, and we got this together within, you know, the week leading up to the show. So Rich absolutely slayed it. Ryan Curry did as usual, and it was a really, really fun start to a fun event.
I got a funny story about Ryan Curry. So after the Let's Rumble, because he was at Let's Rumble, I went out in downtown Bangor. I was full incognito. You remember I was wearing a backwards hat, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I just turn around, and I, you know when you feel someone staring at you?
Oh, yeah.
I turn around, and he's staring at me. I go, well, do you enjoy that ass kicking or what? And he just goes, oh, yeah, I did.
That's
okay.
Funny.
That's good stuff. So we had J.D. Drake defeat Brian Pillman Jr. I was reading a review of this match earlier by the Wrestling Insomniac, who you should totally check out. And he said this was just great. You revealed on this podcast last week that this was going to open the card. After the match, after J.D. Drake wins, he tells Pillman, your dad would be proud. They do the handshake. Awesome moment that's going to live on in Limitless lore. Seems like it was the right match to open up this card with.
Yeah, I think it was. These two beat the absolute shit out of each other. And not that I didn't expect it, but it was really cool to see Brian Pillman Jr. hang with someone like J.D. Drake, where he's, you know, outsized, outmatched, so to speak. And J.D. Drake hits just about as hard as anybody on the Limitless Wrestling roster. So to see how well Brian Pillman kind of weathered the storm and, you know, almost had this one a few times, it was a really fun back and forth contest. I think I did make the right decision with having this open the show. I think it really set the tone for everything. And as you said, like after the match, it was a very emotional moment earlier in the night where, you know, J.D. Drake winning off a picture perfect moonsault that I can't wait to put the clip of because he just squashed Brian Pillman Jr. But saying his dad would be proud in the handshake, show of respect, a very cool moment, and I think we'll at least get the clip of that, the ending to this match up very soon on YouTube.
I can't wait to see it. As Josh said, he was not in the building for this one. But were you in the building for the next match, Josh?
Absolutely. I was
okay,
there.
Okay, let's talk about this one. The prize Alec Price defeated Danhausen. Right now, Danhausen is like the most popular guy in independent wrestling, it seems. Everywhere I look, people are posting about him. Randy, how was the crowd feeling about Danhausen here first?
They were on their feet. They were on their feet before this match started. And I always say, like, it's just, I take the headset off when I'm doing commentary because I want to feel that and I want to hear that. And, it was just another level. And it's kind of crazy because we're in the generation now where wrestlers are making themselves over, so to speak, with social media work and crowd connection via talking to people on, you know, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. It's really wild, the following that he's accumulated, and he's legitimately one of the most popular wrestlers in Limitless Wrestling every time he comes.
Yeah, Josh, what do you think of the whole no swearing, the teeth stuff? How does that all sit with you?
Man, to echo off what Randy's saying, it is incredible how much this this guy has really got over with the main crowd. And it reminded me of Teddy Hart, who used to be a member of Limitless. And just for some reason, there's certain guys that the crowd just, they grab and they're like, this is our guy now. And Danhausen is it. And was this his first singles match in Limitless? Because he's done scrambles and stuff in, before, right?
Yeah, this was the first one-on-one because his debut was in March. He was a part of a six-way scramble.
Yep.
He was back in October, a part of a four-way dance. So this was the first singles match for Danhausen.
And it was a perfect, to me, just a perfect foil to have in Price, who was so, as much as Danhausen is loved, in a short amount of time in front of this Limitless crowd, Alex Price is reviled. And this was a nice, just a perfect kind of mirror image of each other. And you, in the big groups, you don't see a lot of classic faces, heels, things like that. And not necessarily like Danhausen is quote unquote like a white meat baby face, but people love him so much and they want to will him to win. The whole thing with the teeth and all this stuff, everything just worked in this. And yeah, this was really good. I'm excited to see, hopefully, that Danhausen comes back a lot in the years ahead. We'll see if he gets obviously picked up somewhere else and all that stuff. But he's a very interesting character and someone that just seems to like people just really take to him because he's so unique in a way that's hard to describe.
We would be remiss if we did not do a deep dive into Alec Price as well. The Prize has established himself as a force in Let's Wrestle. He won Let's Rumble. He's going to be eventually challenging the Masshole Mike McCarthy for the Let's Wrestle Championship. But in Limitless Wrestling, after having a barn burner with CJ Cruz, he went out and he challenged JD Drake, got his ass handed to him, but stood in there and showed that he's got balls. Well, he goes one-on-one with Danhausen here, and he gets his first win inside a Limitless Wrestling ring. This guy is on the rise. Randy, why should people be buying high on Alec Price's stock right now?
I mean, you kind of said it yourself. He's been tearing up Let's Wrestle. He's virtually untouchable in Let's Wrestle right now, and we'll see if that leads him to the championship. He challenges in March against the Masshole Mike McCarthy, but this is a much-needed win. This kind of solidifies Alec Price as not just some dude who's, you know, writing checks he can't cash. He's finally cashed a check. He's got a victory. And now if he can string a few together, I think he could rise himself up the ranks of Limitless Wrestling pretty quick in 2020.
He's so deceptive because he's not a quote-unquote big guy by any means.
He's pretty small. He's like 170 pounds.
And he's lanky, too. Josh, what are your impressions of him?
Well, it took me a while to warm up to him, but now that this match definitely made me think of him a lot differently, I think, and especially just because he's such a heel, right? And I think it's such a fun dynamic to have. And on these shows, everyone loves everyone when they come in, right? Because it's like, oh, the first time I'm seeing this act or this team or this performer, whatever. So when you're able to have that real like dynamic, that's fun because that's how a lot of us actually get into watching this stuff, is cheering for the bad guys and good guys and so on, all that. But he's talented in the ring. He's athletic. And as you mentioned, he's lanky. And he's it's going to be fun to see how he evolves, and especially as he gets in the ring with maybe more seasoned veterans or things like that. I mean, I think the Drake match was a big step towards that. But he's got a future there. It's just if he can keep developing and learning and working and all that.
Yeah.
There's something there for sure. And it's interesting how from the outside to kind of seeing how he's being booked on these cards, it's obvious that Randy has a lot of belief in him as well.
Randy, why are you giving so much to this guy? Is it because of just how he's worked his tail off in Let's Rumble and that do you like the fact that he's not afraid to call his shot?
Yeah, I mean, I always like I don't know other way to say it, but a ballsy individual, someone who's not afraid to take big chances like that and really, you know, take a risk and put themselves out there. But I've also got to see Alec Price for about a year now, a little over a year at this point. Just I'm able to understand what he brings to the table. And I think it's something, honestly, that's going to be crucial for Limitless Wrestling moving forward. I think he's going to be a core roster member and a big time player for us moving forward because he is a guy who busts his ass. He's in the ring, you know, every single week, multiple times a week, and providing really good matches every single time. And people love to hate him, but they love to watch his matches. And he's very entertaining and very fun to watch. And I think that People are going to be excited to see what's coming for him in February.
We got Daniel Garcia defeating Oswald Project. You know, a lot of people expect a lot from Oswald Project. Not too much from him in this match. Daniel Garcia runs wild on him, overpowers him, and he picks up the win here. Daniel Garcia, again, one of the more hated people in all of Limitless Wrestling. And, well, then things hit the fan. The Galaxy's greatest alien, Chris Statlander, fresh off her run in AEW, comes back unexpected, answers an open challenge for more competition, and my goodness, did this get crazy. Garcia, after he loses to Statlander, he goes for a handshake. Chris denies him, says not today. Garcia didn't take to that too kindly, went to beat her down, and then your girl Ashley Vox flew out to make the save. Lots to take in here. Josh, you were praising this whole segment just before. What stood out to you about it?
Well, so first of all, Oswald Project is so unique.
Very
unique. And we're talking about Danhausen being unique and so on, but this, it is hard to describe. He's a bump machine. I mean, and this is, it got me thinking how valuable guys like this are when they can sell so well and do it in ways that you don't see a lot. He's so flexible and can take these shots, and Garcia was just stretching him all over the place. And there was one, I cannot remember the spot, but basically Garcia had him completely pretzeled up, and people were like, you could feel people almost like cringing, imagining how much this must hurt. Amazingly flexible, and he's one of those guys that also gets a lot of sympathy from the crowd as well, because they want to like him. He has this that kind of personality. It just kind of gives that off. And Garcia, you know, he's starting to kind of figure out this this more aggressive heel persona. You can tell he's kind of working out. I was checking out some of his tweets, before the show, and he was joking. Turned out, I guess he was joking. He made a T-shirt like, you know, Daniel Garcia is a boring wrestler or something like that, because I guess he must get this a lot of places. And he's trying to work into this whole, like, I don't want to have to hurt this guy. I'm clearly better than him. Obviously, he was able to beat him, and then obviously the Statlander thing was such a big surprise, and that was a lot of fun too. I think once it got going, the chain wrestling a little bit, the groundwork kind of got a little bit slow. The second half of the match was outstanding, and people really got into it. The fact that Statlander was there was just a bonus, and the fact we had a full length match out of it was a double bonus. So this was a lot of fun, and Danny Garcia sent home packing once again.
Now Chris Statlander comes out, and the Limitless crowd cannot believe it. Randy, you knew this was coming. The anticipation must have been killing you. What was the payoff like for you there?
I mean, I love moments like that all the time. It's not too frequently that we're able to pull something off like this. It's very few and far between. So when everything comes together in a situation like that, yeah, of course, it's super exciting. And I was very anxious for it to happen. And then I thought the match was very good. It was a fun collision. I mean, I agree with Josh, where it kind of had a weird beginning to it, but as it got rolling, like, this was a lot of fun to watch, and it was a very back and forth contest. And Chris Statlander, I think people shocked that she was able to pin Daniel Garcia, even though Daniel Garcia just went through 5 minutes with Oswald. But a very fun match, and a win to get Chris Statlander back on track, which does hold a lot of traction now that she's, you know, going to be in Limitless Wrestling moving forward. We can kind of put that rumor to rest that she's leaving.
Yeah, go ahead. Give some credence to that.
Yeah, it's you know, hats off to AEW, because they're allowing talent, not all talent. I want to make that clear before people go fucking tweeting me asking for the Young Bucks every show.
too late. I just did it.
Thank you. There are, and I don't know the specifics of the contracts. I don't ask either, but there are certain contracts with people that they use where they do allow them the freedom to accept independent bookings. Sometimes it's only for a certain few promotions. Sometimes the talent has free reign. In this scenario, we're able to continue booking Chris Statlander moving forward, and she's going to be a part of Limitless Wrestling for at least the first half of 2020. She's booked on most of our dates moving forward, so you can definitely expect to see more of Chris Statlander this year, and that victory over Daniel Garcia definitely starts her 2020 in the right direction.
Yeah, did you get a chance to talk to Chris at all about her experiences in AEW so far?
I haven't a ton. I mean, she's obviously making quite a name for herself on Wednesday nights, but I haven't asked a ton. Mm-hmm. Why? Curious. Do you have questions?
No, I was just curious if she had anything to share about those. I'd be interested in hearing some of that.
Yeah. Maybe we can talk to her on here sometime.
Maybe we'll have to talk to her.
My hope is that she doesn't end up on Dynamite one weekend dumping the Limitless World title in a trash can, Randy. Just be careful of that, okay?
That wouldn't sit well.
No, but Ashley Vox makes the save, so clearly mutual respect between these two no matter what. They've gone through hell and back together, and great stuff.
I think that was a moment in itself, too, because, I mean, it looked like Daniel Garcia was going to go to work on Chris Statlander after the match was over, and then Hooked on a Friedman hits, and Ashley Vox storms the ring. It was pretty cool to see.
Hooked on Friedman? You're
Did I say that?
Yeah, you're ingrained on it.
Oh, fuck Max.
Great show.
It was a good it was great, a great show. Hooked on a feeling. Close enough.
Yes. Well, she would stay out there to take on the debuting Tasha Steelz in Limitless Wrestling. Ashley Vox picks up the win here. Sixth straight win for Ashley Vox. She's got to be right up there, Randy. Like, she's got to be, I say knocking on the door, but she's burst that door down.
I mean, I think she's close as well. She has some interesting endeavors that she'd like to try in Limitless Wrestling, but I definitely think, you know, after Chris Dickinson, if she can notch another win here in February, how is she not next in line in March for whoever wins that match?
You know, when the Vacation Land Cup rolls around, I mean, I'm thinking of her as a very, like, a top seed, you know? I mean, she has to be right in that conversation.
If the Vacation Land Cup was next month, she'd be in it 100%.
Oh, easily.
100%.
Josh, anything about this match that stood out to you?
I didn't really like it. And okay. I think I know why. And I think I like Ashley Vox matches when she's in against someone that's bigger than she is.
I totally agree with that.
And it's like, I was thinking almost like, you know, Flair, like Ric Flair used to work, when he used to work bigger guys, it was just a different dynamic. And these two were, you know, similarly sized, and it just was like, it was almost like, seeing a mirror image, but it just didn't get me into it. I love the, you know, the Statlander matches obviously speak for themselves. The MJF match I talked about earlier, it seems like when she's in there and she has that kind of that underdog role visually, it just kind of, it provides a different dynamic. I just couldn't really get into this one for whatever reason, but during the match I was thinking that, you know, I just like when she's in there against bigger people. So, you know, her against an Anthony Green or Dickinson or whoever, I think that'd be, you know, could be a lot of fun. But that was just kind of my takeaway after the match.
Josh, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think Ashley Vox is just such a great underdog. And she's Limitless Wrestling's Daniel Bryan, you know, and when you can visually pair her with that, it adds to that. But she's got that bulldog mentality, and I'm in total agreement with you. And that's nothing, of course, against Tasha Steelz, who, by all accounts, looked great here. But, yeah, I'm with you. Randy, any thoughts here?
I like this one a lot more than Josh. I think it's cool to see the other layers to someone like an Ashley Vox, sure, where she is wrestling someone closer to her size. Tasha really impressed me as well. I hate making the comparison because they are in the same group together, but she reminds me of a female Christian Casanova, where she's extremely smooth inside the ring with everything that she does. I'm eager to see her against more Limitless competitors. She's got a few more dates locked down for us this year, so she will be around Limitless Wrestling throughout the winter and spring. But I enjoyed this match. I think this is one of those matches where I feel like if it had maybe 2 to 3 more minutes and they were able to kick it into third gear and have the time to do so, I think it would have come off a little better than it did. But I still enjoyed this one quite a bit.
Let's talk about this match. I cannot wait to discuss it. I saw this match. The Mainstay Posse defeats the North, Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. Randy, you and I hit on this big time last week. We thought this was going to be an absolute barn burner. I thought it was. Another big win for MSP. I mean, these guys are just, they're just on fire. And you say it week in and week out, they're the best tag team in the Northeast, in your opinion. They march into Beyond Wrestling. They got screwed in Beyond Wrestling, but they made an impact. They are riding high. Josh, what'd you think of the match?
I mean, what more can we say about these guys? They work well with everyone. I was thinking about, I was going to do this beforehand, but maybe for next time. I want to kind of look back at all the teams that they've wrestled and beat in Limitless in the last like year. It's, I mean, every team that comes in, they're you know, top talent somewhere else, and they work seamlessly and they look like they belong. And I think that's a testament to guys, and it's a testament that they're getting the trust to work with these guys. And it's just fun to see them have these different challenges and different looks. And I know from previous podcasts, you guys have talked, and Randy has talked about wanting to bring other teams in to work with them and to mash and to kind of see how they do. And it's fun. I mean, there's no tag titles in Limitless, and that's been talked about before. But what's good is that even with no tag titles, there's still people are excited to see tag team matches, especially with these guys in them. And this was fun. Ethan Page is he really seems to have it figured out. And he was just talking to the crowd, but then he was able to flip to that more heel persona to get more fans to boo him. Because obviously people were excited to see the North in there. It was my first time seeing Josh Alexander, physically bigger than I thought he was going to be. Really kind of intimidating. His facials are really cool. Like, he was just staring down Aiden Agro a bunch of times, and it looked convincing, you know. And this was just a lot of fun. And I mean, I was just thinking that, I mean, you could see MSP in Impact or AEW or one of these other groups. I mean, why not, right? And you know, who knows? This could be the year that happens.
I really hope so. Randy?
Yeah, I agree with all that. Josh Alexander is an extremely intense individual. The North, Monster Mafia, however you know them, it's a team I've been trying to get to Limitless Wrestling for a long time, and this has been a match. I think I've talked with you about it, John. Mm-hmm. I've really wanted to do this since day one, but it just wasn't able to happen for a while.
But that's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and once Josh Alexander got his work visa figured out, we just didn't have dates that lined up for the longest time. So to be able to do this, and this was a pure, really, really good tag team wrestling match. Like, if you're a fan of tag team wrestling, you really enjoy this contest. I think it's two teams who really work extremely well at being teams, which that can get lost, I think, in 2020 tag team wrestling. I think we saw just a lot of really good tag team stuff here, and to see the Mainstay Posse pull off a victory against, you know, truly one of the top teams going right now, World Tag Team Champions, it's pretty cool, and it's a pretty big win for them. And, you know, I'm interested to see what's next for them, because, as you said, you know, we want to continue to bring some of the top teams in the country here. They have very few blemishes over the past year on their record, only losing to the New Heart Foundation and Take Me Home Tonight. And that's, you know, that record speaks for itself.
I also have one thing to add. I remember seeing a quick promo that the North did on the Mainstay Posse leading in this, but it was at the Impact set. I just thought that was a really cool thing. It was mm-hmm. a cool look. To me, it kind of elevated that. It didn't seem like they were just kind of being brought in, if that makes sense. It was like it just made it kind of feel just more big, if that makes sense. And I love that stuff. I don't know if that was their idea or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, that was all them, and I agree totally. I thought literally the same thing when they sent it to me. I'm like, this is going to be pretty cool shit to put out there.
Randy, this is where you promote WrestleProm.
Oh, yeah. we're doing WrestleProm, if you have not heard, on Saturday, April 18th in Yarmouth. I talked to Harry, actually, this weekend, and he is he's looking to go all out on like decorations and making the Yarmouth Amvets look like a real life prom. So I'm super excited for it. It's going to be eight teams tangoing for tag team supremacy. So we'll be seeing some promposals, I think, pretty soon on the YouTube, on the Facebook, wherever. But definitely be following that. Tickets going to go on sale after our March event. March is going to be Saturday, March 21st, by the way. So if you want to mark them down in your calendars, that is what our winter into spring is looking like.
Okay, duly noted. Continuing here, Josh Briggs defeats Alexander Lee, Jody Threat, and Kevin Blackwood. Lots to unpack in this match. First off, Randy, you mentioned to me that you want to talk about Jody Threat, so by all means, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I loved this match, and fuck you, John Alva, for thinking that it was not going to be good.
I did not say that's it was not going to be good. I never said that. You can go back and listen to last week's episode.
Well,
I said I thought there would be some styles clashing potentially, but I did not say it would not work.
Okay, I know. I went a little harsh there.
You are just a dick.
Sometimes, correct. I had a few people come up to me, like, as they were leaving the show, who were actually laughing about our little banter on the podcast last week because they loved this match. And
good. I'm glad.
I think everybody really went in. This was the perfect match to have after intermission. If you haven't seen the clip, we had, before I get to Jody Threat, Brandon Kirk reemerges. Well. And John, how about you speak about that?
Because
you sent me some messages that seemed like you were sick earlier today after watching what happened.
So at the end of the match here, Alexander Lee and, you know, Joey Eastman is a expletive weasel.
They were on their way to winning the contest. Yes. Joey Eastman was providing a lot of outside help, and Alexander Lee capitalizing on that. And then let's get to your favorite part of the match.
So Brandon Kirk marches down to the ring. First time we've seen him since the Expo. And remember, he suffered that vicious injury in the Expo match. And, well, he straight up stabs Alexander Lee in the forehead with a set of skewers. And, like, he stabs him, and then he just starts patting them into his head, into his flesh. They're sticking out of his head. Alexander Lee is a crazy bastard. He got even a little crazier with
this. He's sitting beside me. Do you want to speak to the speak to the skewers in your head?
They fucking hurt.
Well, Alexander Lee gets the skewers, and then he gets a pile driver right on the apron.
And the skewers stayed in his head.
They stayed in his head. I was sick. God mighty, Josh Nason, how the hell did you keep it together in person?
Well, I tell you what, the skewers, talking about Ashley Vox, one of the best spots I've seen in Limitless was the Ashley Vox skewers to the head of Brandon Kirk. So clearly it's where he got it from. This was a lot of fun. Josh Briggs has been, since his injury, since his comeback,
he's
impressed me a lot. The Anthony Green match at Fresh Blood? Yeah, Fresh Blood.
Yeah, that was excellent.
That was a lot of fun. This was really good. Just something seems to have changed. I don't know what it is. I think you guys may have alluded to it, but he's looked really good since coming back. I want to see Joey Eastman manage other talents as well as Alexander Lee. I think he adds a different dynamic. It's fun. I mean, if he was like paired with Danny Garcia or something like that, he's an antagonist, and I love that because it harkens back to the old school 80s and 90s and so on. So I know you're not a big fan, John Alba, but I tell you what, more Joey Eastman I think is fun. And he also plays in the fantasy football league that I'm in as well, and I think I beat him a couple times, so we'll throw that out there. And Kevin Blackwood, I he had such a fun kind of a nice little comeback after the long layoff due to the injury. I want to see him get some more high profile matches. I hate to see him lose because he was on such an upswing, but I'd love to see him pick up some wins and get some momentum back, and maybe the Vacation Land Cup or something like that gets a good high spot there. But he's someone that I'm really kind of like rooting for in a lot of ways, and I think his look consistently changes, and I think he's trying, and I think he's it's just something about him. I want to see him succeed. Yeah,
I told him this show. I really liked the change of his look for this show. I think it really fit Kevin Blackwood. And I want to talk about Jody Threat real quick, because I think she had the match of her life in this fucking four-way. And not that she hadn't had good matches before, but this was really, I think, the one that solidified that she's going to be a major player for us throughout 2020, because she just excellent throughout the entire match. And just I think there's some really fun potential matches that we can do with her throughout the year. So a great match all around, the perfect comeback from intermission, big win for Josh Briggs. And we'll talk more about Josh Briggs later as he stuck his nose in some business later on.
Don't you try to make me look bad here. Josh Briggs is going to try to eat me if you do that again. Okay? You got me?
He might.
All right. Puff defeated John Silver. Puff gets his moment here, Randy. And
finally.
It's been a long time coming. And he finally proves, yes, not only am I thick, but I am a thick boy. And Silver, after suffering the loss here, well, they celebrate with a beer. We get the nice hug. What a moment. Feel-good moment. The thick boys may be back together. Jay Freddie nowhere to be found here, but Puff did say a couple weeks ago that once he won this match, he would go find Jay Freddie and give him a big hug as well.
Yeah, and I think this going back to the Ashley Vox Tasha match, I think we kind of uncovered a new layer of Puff that we hadn't seen yet, where Puff's not just like a comedy guy. He's not just out there to make people laugh. Like, he can really get it done when he's in the ring. And I enjoyed this one. As I said, I think we just saw a new side of Puff that I think a lot of people thought was not possible. And I think he did have some haters. You know, obviously everybody loves Puff, but a majority, I should say, of people love Puff. But he does have his haters, because I think a lot of people just you know, they believe that they see him for what he is. But Puff actually, you know, really came to work and had a fun match with John Silver here. And, you know, we're going to see. I was hoping that Jay Freddie was going to make it back from Japan in time to be the special guest referee here, because I feel he could have done a great job in that role. But, you know, good for Jay Freddie, obviously, going to Japan again. He didn't get back till the next day, so it just didn't work out. But Puff did say he's going to go try to find Jay Freddie and get the band back together. So maybe we'll see the Thick Boys ride again in 2020 at full force now.
Josh, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, it felt like a blow-off to an angle we've seen kind of play out after a while. It was missing Jay Freddie because I was kind of wondering where he was, and hopefully maybe someday we'll see that denim jacket on a pole match that was supposed to happen at the Expo. But this was fine. It's funny that you say Puff has haters. I to me, like, he's just a change of pace in a lot of ways, and I think you're right. He had his game face on. It was serious right from the get-go, and I thought this was good. I noticed John Silver had on his Dark Order trunks on. So I didn't know. It kind of felt like maybe this was going to be the last time we see him for a while, if he's going to be with AEW more often. But, of course, who knows about that. But, I thought this was fine, and kind of for people that have been following along these storylines for a while. And I know you mentioned one of the last podcasts as well. Sorry if I keep saying that, but came to mind.
We like to keep things canon.
You mentioned that, you know, some of these I think it was Randy talking about some of these storylines that people have been following along so long, if that makes sense, that people, they get the payoffs and they get the emotion into it and everything. And this was a nice payoff for a very long storyline that had been built out over a long period of time. And yeah, it just felt like a kind of a closure of that. It also opens up some, you know, interesting possibilities for Puff. If maybe he does a little bit more serious stuff and does some more singles matches or something. And yeah, I think this was good. This was really good.
It's just one of those things where you got to dig down in the moment, you know. And I think that's what Puff realized, and he got the job done.
100%.
Let's talk about JT Dunn and CJ Cruz. CJ Please. Cruz, man, he is just the best. I am such a big fan of this guy, even if he did eliminate Mac Daniels and Let's Rumble. I think he is a future star in the making, and JT Dunn gets the win here, but due to some post-match tomfoolery, the decision is reversed. Kevin Quinn makes the decision to reverse the decision after JT Dunn, he's going ham, and then he shoves off Rich Paladino to the mat. You don't do that. You don't do that. He's trying to kill CJ. And then Josh Briggs comes down to make the save, tells him he better show up with a partner in February or not show up at all. So there's some cool stuff in the making here. First off, when JT Dunn shoves Rich Paladino, nuclear heat.
I legitimately was a little worried that a few fans were going to jump in the ring and fight JT Dunn. It was a very tense moment because, you know, JT had pulled off a victory, and it looked like CJ was whipping his ass throughout this match too. That's CJ had an incredible match with JT. JT gets lucky, and he actually had your boy Mac Daniels at ringside.
Yes, he did.
Have you heard about this?
He did.
He was his streamer bitch for the night.
That was
what was chanted. That is not my call of a name, but that is what they, that was the name he donned for the night, according to the Limitless Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
CJ was rolling. It knocked your boy to the floor with a kick, was going up for the springboard drop kick, and he ate a death by elbow coming down.
Yeah.
And JT notched the victory. And as you said, I guess that wasn't enough for him. He, you know, kept the onslaught on after the match, shoved Kevin Quinn to the mat. That was the, I think I didn't do my research, but I'm almost certain that this was the first reversal of a decision in Limitless Wrestling history. I don't know if I don't know if I can recall. We've had matches restarted, but I don't know if we've ever had a straight up referee reversal of decision. That's what happened here with Kevin Quinn. JT shoving Rich Paladino to the mat, and that's what finally triggers Josh Briggs to come from the back and run off JT Dunn. He invited him back in the ring. He said, if you want to settle this now, you can try that shit on me. And JT took a few steps forward, and then CJ was pulling himself to his feet, and he decided better of it. So I'm very intrigued, because JT Dunn had such trouble back in October putting together a team of three. I don't know if he can even find a partner in the Limitless Wrestling locker room anymore.
Josh, what do you think of CJ Cruz? Do you see in him what I do? I think he's just incredible.
This is my first time seeing him in person, and he, yeah, there's definitely something there for sure. He, the last time I'd seen him, watching on Independent Wrestling TV, he looked like he had put on some more muscle. So it looks like he's really kind of getting into better shape, which is good. He's a natural baby face. People just love him, and it's not a fake thing. It's just a, like,
he's likable.
Yeah, he's likable, and that's a good thing. And he really just, he plays off that, which is good. He's really talented. You know, he's really talented in there. And yeah, and the fact that you see him starting to get more work, in the Northeast and things like that, I think that can only be a benefit for him. The Palatino shovedown, that was amazing. How many people just were really, really pissed. And if you guys remember, obviously you guys remember, back at the Expo show, JT Dunn chased Palatino essentially out of the ringside area and was like flipping him off and all that. So it's kind of a tie back to that. The only thing I didn't like about this was the referee reversal decision. That was the only thing I didn't really like. I think you could have just left it as is and it would have been fine. You could have done all the same stuff, but everything else was good. And yeah, some intrigue with Briggs and JT Dunn going into the next show.
And CJ Cruz comes out to Toto, which is a plus.
That's a huge plus.
Yeah, the 80 songs. I mean, look at Anthony Green. They work. And Ace Romero as well. I mean, that just, the songs you can sing along with work. And I think, Cruz, I've talked in the past about wrestlers that are going to do well, like the fair circuit. I think with kids, Cruz is going to be like a hit. He just has that high-fiving thing going. You don't see that a lot now.
You agree with that, Randy?
He's got it.
What's that?
You agree with that, Randy?
Yeah, 100%. I think CJ Cruz is kind of cool how quickly he's won over a majority of the Limitless Wrestling audience, because sometimes when talent are taking that step up, it does take a while for them to connect, and sometimes it doesn't happen right off the bat. Sometimes it takes, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches, or maybe it takes, you know, a couple matches and then taking 6 months off. So it's cool to see the connection that he already has with the Limitless faithful, and I'm very intrigued for this tag match in February.
Oh, and I also had a prediction, by the way. I was thinking about this after this match. And obviously there's one person on this call that has the control over this. I think CJ Cruz is going to be a Limitless world champion by the end of 2021.
By the end of next year. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, just,
I do.
I hate to break it to you, but that's Mac Daniels.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, streamer bitch or whatever they're calling him. Wait till he's their world champion.
Hey man, it could happen, but okay. I hope it's not under that name.
Mac Daniels, Alec Price, CJ Cruz, 3-way for the Limitless World title at the biggest Limitless show of the year, 2021. Mark it down, folks.
Is that a John Alba in a shark cage?
Salivating.
Is that a John Alba in a shark cage match?
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah, I did salivate on that. You're right. Oh my God, inject that to my veins. All right. Let's talk about it. Big time main event here. Anthony Green, Christian Casanova, Ace Romero. AG is still your Limitless Wrestling world champion. I loved his interview in last week's episode. I thought he was very straightforward. Not so straightforward in this match, Randy.
This was, I think, the wildest atmosphere we've had for a Limitless championship match ever. Anthony Green was essentially the away team here, being, you know, the guy who defeated MJF at the Expo, the fighting champion who's going to take on all comers, and now he's essentially the bad guy in this scenario because people are loving Christian Casanova. And obviously, like, Ace Romero had as many supporters as Christian, but it was just, Josh, you can speak to this as well, it was a wild atmosphere to kick off that match.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe how many people were into Christian. It was amazing. And the fact that, because Anthony Green is, you know, talk about moments of the year from 2019 when he won the Vacation Land Cup, and just that, you mentioned that people were, you know, just so emotional there that when he wins the title, people are even crying. The fact that he's been Limitless all this time, and then to see them, the fans just kind of like turn on him and kind of just go with Casanova, you know, it's very similar to WWE fans with Seth Rollins. It reminded me of that a lot when they were just like, we're good.
And it's not like he's done anything either. That's the thing. Like, he hasn't changed a thing about himself, and actually, like, really proved, you know, what he was saying about being a fighting champion by not only accepting the challenge of Ace Romero, but accepting Christian Casanova's challenge as well for this triple threat match.
Well, they go in there. There were some crazy things in this match. That move off the top rope.
The Tower of Doom.
Tower of Doom.
I don't know if I've seen that like executed to
in that, that extent. Degree ever. Yep. Mm-hmm. Me too. That's exactly what I was thinking when I was watching it. Christian Casanova was awesome in this match. No surprises there, right?
No, and this was scary for a minute because Christian,
he got hurt.
Christian, excellent throughout the first couple minutes of the match, really, really was commanding the triple threat and looks for a dive on the outside. Ace Romero catches him, power bomb position, and hucks him into the ring. And it looked like, from my vantage point, and Christian would be the guy, we should talk to him on here soon, but Christian would be the guy to tell you for sure, but it looked like he smacked the back of his head off the side of the ring. And that's just, that's steel, obviously. And I was up out of my chair for about a minute, just trying to make sure that, he was going to be all right to continue. And it just a scary moment that he had to come back from, and just an excellent match. I think this is one of the, I'll go out on a limb and say it's one of the best main events in Limitless history.
You agree with that, Josh?
I was curious about whether, how badly he got hurt. Cause I was on the other side of the ring. And you just see people like, I was just kind of looking because obviously people go, with big spots anyway.
Yeah.
I was just watching people over there and they looked legitimately concerned. So it was kind of one of those things of, oh boy, what's going on here? But he got back in there and he didn't, if he was concussed or I mean, who knows? He didn't miss a step. You wouldn't have known it. He was, he really opened some eyes. I mean, he has been, as you guys have alluded to in the past, but I was kind of thinking like, is it one of those things where, sometimes you hear about WWE and other places where you change the call, the finish of the match, because just the crowd just takes it to a different spot. I was kind of wondering like, is there any chance that maybe, if he wasn't scheduling, maybe he is scheduling based on this, but this is maybe that just builds to potentially, a green, Anthony Green Casanova title match down the road if he gets back Dickinson, and there's possibilities here. But he was there were so many crazy spots during this match, and the people, this was the last match of the night, and people were definitely, they were into it,
they were fired up. Yeah, and they'd gone through so much already too.
Yep.
Remember, it is all about the chase, and right now Christian Casanova is chasing. He said after the show that he was just blown away by the support for him. And he is the man right now. And even though Anthony Green steals this win, throws Christian Casanova out of the ring after Christian had this one, maybe there's some changes coming about here in Limitless. I mean, going against Chris Dickinson. Chris Dickinson's one of the more popular guys in Limitless Wrestling too, Randy.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough contest. I do want to say before we get done with this match, big-time props to referee Tony P, who is right on top of that, that gnarly landing for Christian. Mm-hmm. He was able to communicate with me that everything was going to be okay. So, he was, definitely the right guy to have in that position. And I appreciate, we have a really good ref crew, for these Limitless shows. And
I want to ask you about this. Was that the first time you've actually had a female ref?
100%. Gina Monty, who is a product of the Testa Strength Wrestling School. She made her Limitless Wrestling debut, officiating a few matches, and she will be back because I think she did an excellent job.
That's great to hear. Great stuff.
I was just thinking about that because you see now AEW has a female ref, WWE promoted one of their female refs of NXT up to the main roster, and it's seamless. Like it's one of those things where as long as they're good at their job, like anyone,
it's normal.
Any referee doesn't matter. So it's refreshing to see that. And it just, there are female referees in the NBA now. I was just thinking about that when I was watching that match. It was cool. Like you could have her referee a main event and it'd be just like, okay, whatever. It's right. Not a thing anymore.
No, you don't even think about it. I'm totally with you on that. So a great show, Flirting with Disaster was. And as we said, February is just around the corner, February 22nd, coming right back there in Yarmouth. Get your tickets once they go on sale, people. You don't want to be like Josh Nason on the outside looking in. You don't want that, okay? Randy, let's close things out here with a little Let's Wrestle preview because that is just around the corner on Saturday, February 8th. It is volume 13. I can't believe that.
Same.
Pick Your Poison. It's coming to you from the American Legion Post 84 in Orono, Maine. We got a lot of cool things going on here. First off, let's address the elephant in the room. Why don't we? This video went online at the Let's Wrestle social media pages. I had a chance to speak with Calvin Strange after his loss to them asshole Mike McCarthy, or at least I thought I was going to get a chance to talk to Calvin Strange, because your little Belfast bulldog started woofing his little mouth up and started to get in my face about being a journalist and calling me fake news and making fun of my hair. Not a fan of this, Randy.
No? Do you want to get in the ring and do something about it?
Well, you know what? There was some little conversation going on about maybe he and I should settle this in the ring.
And
here is my formal advocation to you. Randy, you name the time, you name the place. I will happily square off with the Belfast Bulldog should he ever like to.
Are you serious?
I am so serious about this.
Whoa. I mean, I think we got some talking to do then.
We have some things to talk about, you know, contractually. I'll have to talk to my
people. Oh, I'm sure. Get your people to talk to my people.
Well, you know, Mac Daniels, you know, I wouldn't want him to think that I was going around his back or anything like that.
Of course.
Understandable. I mean, he's on this show. What's going on with Mac Daniels for this show? Any plans?
Well, Mac Daniels does not have an announced match yet.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. What are we going to see?
I don't know yet. There's a lot still to go. We've got four matches announced, and half of two of those matches hasn't been announced yet because Alec Price and Mike McCarthy have yet to make their decisions. So.
Well, we know Rip Bison's going to be on the show. BRG, Brett Ryan Gosling, Channing Thomas, Antoine Nicholas, Mr. Christ, one of your favorites, Chip Chambers, and then as for the card itself that has been announced. We got Smart Mark Sterling and CJ Cruz, who also threatened me, by the way, this week. Smart Mark Sterling, that is. First time ever. You excited for that one?
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Mark Sterling actually just moved to Massachusetts, so I think we're going to have a lot more of him in Let's Wrestle. I'm a big fan of his work, and I'll actually spoil something. He's going to be at Limitless Wrestling in February as well. I won't tell you what capacity. I think he'll tell you that pretty soon, but this will be an interesting test for CJ Cruz. This is another like interesting match we're throwing at him in Let's Wrestle to see how he does with it. He just defeated DL Hurst at the Let's Rumble, nearly won the Rumble.
Dude, that was a hell of a match that they had, by the way.
That was excellent. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of that match. So another big singles test for CJ Cruz. We'll see if he can get it done because honestly, if he can string a couple together in Let's Wrestle, there's no reason why he can't get a championship match down the line.
We have the Let's Wrestle Tag Team Championship match. This one a long time coming. The Stigma, Eric Johnson and Brandino Davis versus the Main State Posse. Eric Johnson trained the Main State Posse. Now they're going to go at it. This should be a fun one.
Yeah, this is a main tag team dream match, and this is actually one that basically everyone in the contest wanted this match to happen. It just so happens the Stigma are still, you know, the first ever Let's Wrestle Tag Team Champions, still reigning with the championship. So this is actually going to main event. I don't know if we've announced that yet, but it's going to main event volume 13, Pick Your Poison. So a big time match for both teams. And, you know, Eric Johnson said in an interview with you, John Alba, that, you know, this could be a pathway for them to get into Limitless Wrestling if they can walk up victorious against the Main State Posse. So big time implications that go beyond just the tag team championships for both teams in this matchup.
Josh, who's been the most impressive Let's Wrestle talent that's made their impact felt in Limitless Wrestling, in your opinion?
Boy, I mean, Cruz and Price. I mean, those are two guys. And I'd love to ask at some point we have more time, maybe on an Ask Limitless edition. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions about Let's Wrestle, the creation of it, how it's supposed to fit in with Limitless, kind of the idea, because I think there's a lot of relatively newer fans of myself, like myself, they don't fully maybe understand or get to mm-hmm. see it as much. So kind of like connecting some of those dots, I think would be kind of fun. But yeah, I mean, Alex Price and Cruz definitely stand out. And I think it's I kind of wonder if maybe part of the strategy of doing more shows is you can include more Let's Wrestle guys on those shows. And
yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think maybe next week, because next week is going to be the Let's Wrestle preview. So maybe we do a kind of a long form, just jump into Let's Wrestle and
I like
how it all came together and what the idea behind it really is.
Let's get into that. I like that. We got the number one contenders open invitational tag team gauntlet. That's a bit of a mouthful there. We've got some teams announced for this. Go ahead, Randy. Tell us who we're going to see.
Yeah, so first of all, this is something put together by GM Johnny Torres to name the new number one contenders for the Let's Wrestle Tag Team Championships. So the winning team in this contest will go one on or two on two with the winning team of the Stigma and the Main State Posse. So that match will happen in March. But we're announcing these actually live on the podcast before they're announced to the public. The Dirty Drifters will be involved. Jacob Drifter and Doug Weiser, two products of the Limitless Wrestling Dojo.
Two of my favorites. Oh, boy.
Kenna Lee, Alexander Lee, and Kennedy Copeland, who have had their run-ins with the Dirty Drifters in the past. And the Syndicate, who are looking to earn their way back to a Let's Wrestle
Tag Title shot. They need a win badly, Randy.
They really do. And, you know, they've had their opportunities in the past, and it hasn't gone their way, but it could be a new beginning for Owen Brody and B.A. Tatum as they enter this contest as well. As of right now, we're looking at six tag teams in this gauntlet. So be on the lookout throughout the next week. We'll be announcing them probably day by day heading into our dropping of the match graphic on Monday. So be on the lookout for that, but that'll be a lot of fun.
And then we got the two Pick Your Poison matches, Alec Price versus To Be Determined and Mike McCarthy versus To Be Determined. They are picking each other's opponents. Maybe I'll get to talking with Mac Daniels here and see if I can get in someone's head.
Well, from what I've heard, we're going to hear from Alec Price by the end of the week on his selection for Mike McCarthy. So I think that's coming fairly soon.
Okay. That's interesting. I'd like to note that Alec Price and Mac Daniels worked together to eliminate the Main State Posse in Let's Rumble. So
yeah, dude, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe Main State Posse shouldn't have been so distracted eliminating somebody else.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right for once.
Yeah, interesting. That show is coming to you February 8th at the American Legion Post 84. Tickets are sold out for Front Row, but $10 general admission tickets remain. LimitlessWrestling.com. Fun episode here, boys. Really enjoyed it. Always a pleasure. Josh, you want to throw out your plugs?
Yeah, you can follow me at my Twitter handle, Josh Nason, J-O-S-H-N-A-S-O-N. Always follow the Wrestling Observer website, W-O-N-F-4-W on the Twitter. And I think that's about it. All kinds of stuff going on, obviously, with you know, business is good when it comes to interest with pro wrestling right now. There's so much stuff going on and helping people kind of try to navigate what to watch. And it's a... You know, it's a really interesting time in the business. I think everyone kind of knows that, we'll just kind of leave it at that. But it's a lot of fun, and as always, I appreciate here again having me here. I'm glad my well suspension is up, and then you know, hopefully be back on at some other point sometime.
Randy, anything else you'd like to add?
Just to let you know again, tickets drop this Friday for Practice What You Preach. That's February 22nd, going down in Yarmouth, Maine. VIP, it's all going to be the same ticket prices, VIP 35, Front Row 25, GA 15. Definitely grab your tickets. You don't want to end up on the outside. And come on up to Orono for February 8th, Volume 13, Pick Your Poison. As you said, Front Row is sold out, but GA tickets are just $10 on LimitlessWrestling.com. And we'll talk about it more next week, but Let's Wrestle really features some of the future of Limitless Wrestling. We've seen it throughout this year. Alec Price, CJ Cruz, Masha Slamovich, just to name a few, who have taken the step up, and I think we'll see more coming very soon. So very excited, looking forward to next week's pod, and looking forward to Let's Wrestle, and especially Limitless Wrestling, February 22nd. It's going to be a really, really fun show.
So am I. We will see you guys next time.